This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
It's Rule 76 3 hours from now, but you get 3 hours of radio goodness before 8 o'clock this morning, and we hand it over to KJM. It is October the 15th, midway through October 2021, the show that you have completely fallen head over heels in love with. DiPietro, Del Perro, DiPietro, whoever he wants to be today, and Rothenberg. I'm the same guy every single day. There's so much to get into today. There's baseball. There's football, there's basketball, there's hockey. Great start from the Islanders last night. But before we do any of it, we say good morning to my bestie, Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. What a night, buddy. What a night of sports last night.
It was overwhelming, to be honest with you.
It was too much.
Yep.
That's fine, though. A little bit too much. I love how you threw the Islanders jab in right to start the show.
Well,
thanks.
Yesterday, the Rangers are terrible.
I did not say the Rangers were terrible.
Oh, what a terrible performance.
Bad first period last night for the Rangers, though. Bad first period.
Dude, awful. Yeah, it's
bounce back, though. That's fine. You got your point.
Well, I'm not looking for a point at home against Dallas.
Yeah, but you got your point. I mean, first of all, the Hopi save against Strome was ridiculous, and then the Khudobin save on Kreider backdoor was amazing. But, I mean, you cleaned it up in the second and third period. Adam Fox is a stud.
Ooh, he is a special player, huh?
Dude, he is so freaking good. It's like the game slows down for him.
I was going to say that. It's like he's playing in slow motion, isn't it?
Yeah, like he sees the ice. I mean, he's awesome. Awesome. I mean, it's the reason why he won the Norris. I mean, yeah. He's one of the best defensemen in the league.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at this. Now, firstly, they did the preseason hockey predictions. Everyone was asked. I mean, like people I'd never heard of were asked. You were not, though.
No, I was asked.
And you said, oh, did you say, I can't do that, that's too much for me?
No, I didn't say it. Throughout the process of the algorithm, I just ended up being too
they say,
too
Rick,
late.
we're looking for, like, you know, all the different award winners. And you're like, yeah, no, I can't live with that kind of stress.
Well, no, I had it. I mean, I consulted RJ and everyone else, came up with my list. It just was by the time I was done with it. I have to do my due diligence. It was too late.
How long did it take you? They gave you a week?
No, more than that.
They gave you more than a week and you couldn't get it done?
Listen, it's not even that I couldn't get it done. It's just I did one list, wasn't happy with it, and then I'm in a tough spot because, you know, I want to pick the Islanders to win the division. They're expecting me to pick the Islanders to win the division, but they got the, you know, 13-game road trip.
I don't think there's any expectation with anything. They're just genuinely asking, like, hey, sir, could you do your list?
Yeah, but I don't really understand the list. That's the thing with me.
God.
I don't really like it to make a prediction this early on when you haven't seen really any of these teams.
That's the point.
Yeah, doesn't make much sense to me.
Oh my God. You are
it's an exercise in futility.
You are so high maintenance. Do you realize you're like a diva. You're like Madonna.
No, because you look like an idiot.
They have to be peanut M&Ms. Have you ever heard the word prediction? You're familiar with that word?
I love peanut M&Ms, by the way. They have to be peanut M&Ms. But it's an exercise in futility because, I mean, if you get it right, you get no credit. And if you go out on a limb and you get it wrong, they mock you. Well, what's the sense? I mean, I'm sitting here on the radio predicting that Doug Peterson is going to get fired. I'm making all these predictions. I should be an NFL insider by now, and I get no credit for it.
So
why am I making predictions for?
Because they asked you to. Because you're one of the faces of hockey on ESPN.
I got a lot going on. I don't need to be doing predictions. I got a morning show. I mean, I'm opening up Thursday shows. I'm coaching teams. There's a lot going on.
Oh, my God.
The guys that aren't doing the extra can do the predictions.
I mean, Don does a lot, no?
Yeah, I mean, Don loves doing the predictions, though.
Right.
I have no interest in
doing
predictions.
But they asked Don, like, excuse me, sir, might you do a couple of predictions? Maybe take 15, 20 minutes, just kind of jot down some notes and let us know. Of course.
Well, because they don't mind being wrong. I don't, you know, it bothers me when I'm wrong, so I have no interest in being wrong.
But that's
who are you
insanity.
Taking out?
Why would it bother you so much to say who's, and my point was, by the way, they were everyone, all of the experts. I think there were like, I don't know, 20-ish experts were asked, you know, their predictions. Everyone had no issue at all. It's on NHL Insiders. I'll run through some of them in a moment.
I mean, you have a hockey show. Why weren't you asked? I mean, you're sitting here asking me. Why weren't you asked?
Well, but here's the thing. I wasn't asked. I don't know why I wasn't asked. I think it's a mistake by them. I mean, they asked people. Victoria Mitiash was asked. You know who that is?
I don't, but...
Peter Lawrence Riddell is on the list.
Yeah, okay, good for them. I'm happy for them.
Bezenhout. They didn't. I don't think they asked Bezenhout unless it's pronounced Sachin Chandon. He or she was asked.
Who did he pick or she pick?
For the Norris?
Yeah, for the Norris.
So
the car?
My original point was not one of the experts, Tim Kavanaugh did not either, pick Fox for the Norris. Not
because he
one.
Won it last year.
But he won it last year.
Yeah, well, they're saying to themselves, well, he's not going to win it back-to-back years.
So not one person?
Most people went with Cale Makar.
Makar gets a lot. McAvoy gets a bunch.
Yep.
John Carlson gets some. Mm-hmm. Ekblad. Seth
All
Jones.
Good picks.
Victor Hedman. Bob Wischusen is here.
Oh, he's doing hockey coverage.
Right? And you know who else is? You.
Yeah, you see Chelios' name on there? I don't see his name. I don't see his name on there.
No, but I see Linda Cohn. Okay. I see LaGreca. I see Levy.
Yeah,
see
Vince Massey.
That's fine.
I don't care.
Massey.
It doesn't bother me a bit. They asked me, and I was late with it.
John Tortorella. But that's
why
the thing.
You want to bring stuff like this up.
You handed the assignment
to get me in
late.
Trouble?
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because I didn't get the list in time.
Okay.
Because I actually take my time and try to do the right kind of list where I get things
when they,
right
when they,
as opposed
when,
to just willy-nilly.
Don't you think that they're looking at you up in Bristol and saying, like,
I could care less.
You know, it doesn't matter to you at all.
Nope.
Clearly.
Does not matter to me at all. My focus is this radio show. That's it.
That's it. That's all.
All
how about your hockey commitment? So let me see if I understand this now. The radio show trumps the hockey commitment.
Yep.
Okay. I'll remember that.
Well, listen, I may not be long for this radio. You keep bringing stuff like this up to the on the radio station.
Well, you know what? I think I'm trying to be transparent.
No, you're not being transparent. You're being a bad guy is what you're doing.
Trying to be transparent.
No, well, you want to be real transparent. We'll start talking about what you say during the pre-show meetings. You want to be real transparent.
That's fine. You go ahead.
I wouldn't do that to you because I'm your friend.
So you're upset with me now?
No, I think I don't understand why this was the open of the show, was to bring up hockey predictions that I didn't do.
It wasn't meant to be.
It happened.
Dawned on me.
No, but it happened.
Well, because I was thinking about Fox, and I was like, you know, where were we? Because as I was looking at it, I was like, God, where's Rick's picks? How come they're not here? I'd like to see them.
Something you could ask me off the, you know, during the first break, maybe.
Okay.
You could ask that question.
You know, I thought we were a transparent unit, but I apparently no.
Well, there are some things, I mean, you know, that you'd rather probably just keep between, you know, the show, right? Like you wishing that Ray's plane went down on his
I didn't
trip
wish
back
that.
To Dallas.
I did not wish that. That's not what I said.
Essentially what you did.
No, it's not what I said.
He would deserve it if the plane went down. It's the same thing.
No, I did not say I wished it went down. Never once did I say that.
So you said he would deserve it. You said he would deserve it. If the plane went down, he would deserve it.
All of a sudden, things are happening now. Tyron Smith, MRI on the neck. I mean, things are starting to happen. That's all I'm saying.
So you're going to drag Santi into this now is what you're going to do?
Drag him. He jumped. He's like the third man in.
What did you say
with
a chair? Character for him?
He comes
this guy's a
chair.
Bad guy. It becomes more and more evident every single day that he's a bad guy.
A great guy. I'm a great teammate.
No, you're a terrible
Speak
teammate.
Very
you would
highly
be the guy.
You
would be. You would be Prince
of
Mukamura that would get thrown in the cold tub, is what you'd be.
No.
That's who you'd be.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Very well liked teammate.
No.
Very well liked teammate. Absolutely. All right. So, firstly, what an embarrassment. I mean, that series between the Dodgers and the Giants, and I mean this sincerely. Vin Scully says before the game, and they talk about it on the K Show, biggest Giants-Dodgers game ever. 51, you ever in this long-storied grand rivalry. And the game was great. Back and forth, you get starters pitching, you get good defense, you get timely hitting, you get big-time pitching, you have it all. All of it. And we go bottom nine, man on first, Scherzer against our old friend Wilmer Flores. And it ends almost on not even a check swing, like a non-check swing. They check it first. They say he goes, how distasteful, disappointing, all of the words, was the ending to that game last night. Horrendous.
Almost seems fitting for Major League Baseball, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, with the conversations that we have with replay and everything else, I mean, you're talking about two best teams in baseball, would you say?
Yes.
I mean, record-wise, are the two best teams in baseball.
I don't even think record-wise. I think this is the first and second best team in baseball. Don't you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, the only reason why you would probably say, like, oh, I don't know about the Giants, just because no one expected this from the Giants. But
Until yesterday, I'm like, you know, they just can't. They did every single step of the way this year. Every step.
Yeah. I mean, they left, and you leave everything on the field, and then to have it end like that is a joke. Again, it's the umpire. I mean, that's, hey, everyone look at me. Everyone paid all this money to come watch me umpire this game.
Do you really think that the thought was, look at me, or do you think it's just incompetence?
I would hate to believe that it's incompetence. I would hate to believe that in that moment, that big of a game, that it would be incompetence.
Because I'm watching the game, 12:30. Now, another thing is, well, I know it's L.A.
It's too late. It's too late.
9:10?
Yeah,
really?
It's too late.
Why? Well, I thought. Don't you hear every single game with every huge national game? The East Coast is the coast you're trying to attract.
Yeah, and you're trying to appeal to a younger fan base, aren't you? I mean, that the goal for Major League Baseball is to appeal to the younger fan base. Well, who's staying up? Like, what kid's staying up for that?
What kid? What adult? Really? What? It ended at 12:30. I stayed up because I'm an idiot. But how many people do you know that have a normal job that could stay up for a game that ends at 12:30 on a Thursday?
I mean, not many people want to stay up that late.
No.
I mean, unless you get caught up into the game. I mean, unless your mindset is, I'm going to watch some of this and then we'll see how it plays out. And then it's such a good game. I mean, Logan Webb is lights out.
He's good.
Yeah, he's awesome. Huge win for the Nerds last night, though. Humongous win for the Nerds last
night. Why? Because they started their bullpen and they get away with the win?
Yeah, and did you hear what? I mean, all these people that you know, complain about Aaron Boone and he stinks as a manager, we want him fired. Did you hear what Dave Roberts said before that game when they asked him?
Yeah, he said he has one vote. This is not the way he would go, but he's outnumbered here.
He's got one vote.
Yeah.
I mean, he ain't even going to win that vote.
It's amazing that he doesn't come out and say, I have the vote. I have one vote.
No, I got one vote.
Apparently there's so many other votes that he gets outvoted every time.
Nerd! And how many times would he get fired too, by the way? I mean, with some of the decisions that have been made, World Series lost. If it was him actually making the decisions, he would have been fired a long time ago.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, and rightfully so. You're right. So, I mean, interesting decision. But again, that's one of those decisions where you could explain it to me and it would make sense. But, I mean, Dave Roberts is saying to himself, I got a guy who's won 20 games on full rest. What are we doing? Why are we trying to mess with this? But, you know, at the end of it, players go out there and they make you look smart when they do what you expect them to do when you win.
And they produce. And good for them.
But that's what happens, though. I mean, in those situations, I mean, you're only as good as really any manager, any whatever, in any sport. You put your guys in position, and then if they go out and perform, you look like a genius. And if they don't, you're the idiot that made the decision.
Yep. You certainly are. So Mookie Betts, this is interesting, goes from a rivalry Yankees-Red Sox, which is considered maybe the best rivalry in baseball, maybe even beyond just baseball, to, if it's not number one, it's the number two rivalry, and that's the Giants and the Dodgers. Here is Mookie Betts after the game asked about the Dodgers-Giants rivalry, comparing it to the Yankees and the Red Sox.
That Yankees-Red Sox, man, that's me.
All right, that's cool.
That that's different.
That's this, fine. Say it. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
This is definitely different. Maybe the different coasts, East Coast people are different than West Coast different. I don't know, but you know, it's definitely a lot of fun to be a part of a rivalry like this. Just being a part of it, being able to contribute in it is just fun.
This is probably more normal. Yankees-Red Sox is like, you know, crazed. Anger, vitriol.
I may be wrong, but did Mookie Betts just call the West Coast soft?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. That's what it sounded like.
But come on. You need Mookie Betts to take you there?
Like, I mean, let's be honest, too. I mean, they're not as rabid of a fan.
No, come on. The Dodgers show up. Was it RJ the other day? I can't even keep it straight now. But I think it was RJ the other day. He was just so bothered by the fact that it's first inning of the game and there's no one at the game.
Yeah, he was choked. He's like, it looks ridiculous.
It's embarrassing.
But I understand it. I mean, this is, again, yeah, it's a rivalry, but let's not start comparing it to the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry.
It's a big rivalry,
I've been to those games. Yeah, I mean, for the teams, it's a big rivalry. You go fan base-wise, I've been to, I can't even count how many Red Sox-Yankees in both, in Fenway and old Yankee Stadium, new Yankee Stadium. That's a different level.
You think that's the biggest? That's not the biggest rivalry in sports, though, is it? Yankees Red Sox.
Biggest rivalry in
Michigan
sports?
Ohio State is huge.
Michigan Ohio State is huge. Auburn Alabama is huge.
Huge. Duke North Carolina is huge.
Huge. Baltimore Pittsburgh is a big rivalry.
Yep. Islanders Rangers is big.
Islanders is big. Well, and that's, I mean, that, see, but it's the, as big as the rivalries are, too, I think it's, how I look at them is, I also have to put into the equation the fan bases and how crazy the fan, like how insane those fan bases are.
Yes. And the Yankees and Red Sox fan bases are crazy.
And it gets nasty, man. It gets nasty.
They hate each other. Absolutely hate each other.
Like, I mean, you see, go to Rangers Islanders games. There's more fights in the stands than there. I mean, Islanders fans attack Santa Claus because the Santas decided it was going to be a good idea that they would take off their Santa jackets with Rangers jerseys on, and they got pummeled.
They attacked Santa Claus?
We had this promo that if you dressed up like Santa, I don't know if you would get in free. It might have been free if you dressed up like Santa. So we're in the locker room during one of the intermissions, and they said, "Yeah, let's bring all the Santas on the ice." So it's like, I don't know how many Santas. You can Google it. I mean, you can watch it on probably on YouTube.
I got to find this.
And then I think it was a father-son.
A father-son?
Dressed up as Santas. They decided to rip open the Santa jackets that had Rangers jerseys on. And then the Islanders Santas attacked them on the ice.
Sounds like Ray Santiago.
It was crazy. That's how passionate these fans are.
Well, I'll tell you what.
One of the greatest rivalries, and I'm not even joking, I call one of the games, is...
I know what you're going to say.
Tell me.
If I get this right, you will be wowed by this.
I will be wowed by this, and I will forgive you for being a jerk in the first 5 minutes.
NYPD at NYFD.
FDNY, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy.
Right? Crazy.
I win. So now I'm back in your good graces.
You're back. We're besties again.
There we go. There we go. All right, good.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I really enjoy the Football Friday. I like going around the league. I like the frenzy. I like just the analysis that we give and the excitement that we have on a Friday heading into a big football weekend.
Two favorite days of the week. Wednesdays
Monday,
with Stump Rothenberg. No, Wednesdays with Stump Rothenberg. It's halfway through hump day. And then today, we got football. We got frenzy. I mean, you name it, we got it.
Yeah, we do. We got it all.
Now we got hockey. I mean, this is we got basketball to talk about. Here's one more question before we get into the football. But baseball last night, with the whole replay situation. So, I mean, me and you have been saying this for the last couple of years. With technology and everything else, there's no reason why the NFL doesn't have, you know, an extra referee up top. You know, sky judge makes perfect sense.
Sure.
I mean, it's another official. It's another official at the game up top, so he sees, I mean, he sees everything. You covered the Canes, the Hurricanes down
I sure did. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, how much different does the game look from up top when
very
you can
different.
See everything?
Yeah, I mean, we've all sat on press row, media row, and you watch the game, and you get a bird's eye view.
Yeah, I mean, you think Dave Rothenberg probably thinks I can jump in there right now and score 30 because the game looks so much different, so much slower up top.
You think... I think I could?
Well, no, I know I personally, like, when I watch the game up from upstairs like that, I'm like, God.
Maybe you think you could.
I know I could not.
I know I could not.
But you have this self-confidence that you could jump in there. With baseball, though, like, I mean, we have replay for egregious mistakes, don't we? Like, that was the intent of replay.
Yes.
And yet we have, like, his finger just came off the base, so we're going to call him out. Like, just stupidity like that. And in that moment last night, like... Why isn't it that we could either challenge it? Because, I mean, it's going to end the game. Why can't we challenge that?
Right.
Which is stupid that we can't. Or, I mean, realistically, how well can the first base umpire see that check swing?
Well, obviously not very
well.
To get
the call right.
Obviously not very well. But here's the thing I will say. Not in defense of the first base umpire. I'm watching that game. I'm exhausted. It's 12:30. I can barely keep my eyes open. But I want to watch the end of the game. And live, I see the check swing, and my first thought, before they even check, I was like, well, he didn't even go close there. He wasn't even close. Then they check. He went strike three. I'm like, wow, I completely missed that because I didn't think he was close. Then they show the replay. I'm like, that was horrendous. Like,
awful.
That's exactly what I thought it was. So you can't even say, well, you know, there's some plays, Rick, where you watch and it's like, oh, it's a bang-bang play, and the umpire's right on top of it and he gets it wrong. You're like, I could see why he gets it wrong because you're watching in slow motion replay. You can't even recognize whether he's out or safe. That was so easy last night. It was so glaring that he did not swing at that.
Well, what's amazing too is like I've, you know, playing for as many years as I've played, I mean, there's been bad calls. And a lot of times you feel like because you're the, you know, you're the road team, you'll have, you know, the referee, the umpire, whatever it is, they usually favor the home team. I mean, like, that's a call that goes against the Giants in San Francisco to end the game, to end their season.
It's a brutal call.
I don't understand you have replay. Why should you get anything wrong?
You can't.
No, I know, but why get anything wrong?
I don't know. You know, we talk about this all the time, about robotic umpires. I'm there. I'm sorry. At a minimum, I'd like to see experimentation with that in spring training. I really would.
Well, they're experimenting with all that different stuff. Robotic umpires. I mean, all the different trying to incentivize guys to steal bases with, you know, bases that are a little bit bigger and everything else. You can only two pickoff moves and everything else. But I don't know. I just feel like baseball, especially. I mean, even the visual of their replay, where I got two umpires going over to a guy that's holding a. the headsets on his chest while they listen to
the whole thing is just ridiculous. Is the best we can do. Do they realize it's 2021?
That's what I mean, though. Like, get with the times. Like, if we're gonna do it, do it. Like, the games are already long enough, and it's getting worse. So apparently, unless you had a pitch clock or whatever you're gonna add, like, that's not. There has been no change in that. It's only getting worse.
And last night, see, here's the thing. You could have a great action-packed football game, right? Up and down the field, 41-38. And reasonably, you could say it's 3 hours and 10 minutes, right? Like, that could, in theory, happen. Game last night had no scoring, had elite pitching, and still went 3 hours and 20-plus minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the average time of baseball games went up this season. When that's been a point of emphasis, is to make these games, I mean, let's get these games over faster. Been a point of emphasis, and they've still gone longer.
Right, but... You know, I'm going into that game last night thinking if things go decently well, I'm out of there at 12:30. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been shocked at all if that game ended at 1:15, 1:30. Like,
no.
There was actually a chance that you woke up for the day and the game was still on.
That's what happens, though, in pressure situations like that. You try to slow things down. You don't want things moving too fast for you, so the players naturally slow things down. Pitchers naturally slow things down. You slow down your bat, you step out, compose yourself. Because that's what happens in high-stress situations for an athlete is things start to speed up. And you try to, I mean, you do your best. I mean, the best can do it. Like Derek Jeter, those kind of guys can do it. Tom Brady's, those guys can do it. So, I mean, that was one of the best things that Eli Manning, I mean, Eli Manning's, one of his best qualities was in those moments, being able to slow it down.
The bigger the moment, the more relaxed he seemed to be. Gabe Kapler, Giants manager, Dodgers won. They were just the better team in this series.
A job very well done and an incredibly successful season that at the very end just came up a tiny bit short. And I think this is the appropriate time to just share that, the Dodgers pitched really well in this series and pitched really well in this game. And you got to tip your cap to the work that they did. They beat us.
I give him credit. I would not have that reaction after that series.
Oh, he's trying to be a pro, but I would be furious. Furious, especially with how that game ended. Now, who knows what happens there, but still, I mean, that's not how you feel, want your season to end.
You feel a lot better if he strikes out. Like, if he goes up there, takes a big hack, third strike, and you lose the game that way.
Yeah, of course. But again, I mean, it's one of those situations where, I mean, umpire decides he wants to insert himself into the game. Because we've seen it both ways, right? I mean, go back to that Saints game. I mean,
the
NFC Championship
call?
Game. Yep. It's like you could tell in that moment the referee did not want to insert himself in that game. Is why he didn't throw the flag. So there are referees that, I mean, that's polar opposites, right? That referee says, you know what, I don't want to be the reason why this game goes one way or the other. And then there's this guy at first base that's like, you know what, I'm going to punch him out.
So what's better? If he said, you know what, this is my day, this is my show, I want to make the defining call, or if he was just clueless on the call, what is a better look for him?
I think a better look for him in that situation is if it's that, I mean, that's close. Like, either way you call it, that's a close call, right? It's me. There's no way I'm punching him out there. No chance.
But it wasn't even close.
That's what I'm saying. Like, unless
that's
it's egregious.
So
like, I don't understand why commissioners of these sporting teams, why, unless they enjoy that people are actually talking about it, like it's a story now, so people are talking about baseball, but I don't know why you want to put your referees in positions like this.
I don't know. Unless it's like clear, you can't end a game like that.
I don't think they care. I think that's part of it. I think they, I mean, the fact that you're talking about the sport is a good thing, I guess, either positive or negative.
No such thing as bad publicity kind of
thing? No, but I just don't understand. Like, I mean, you have the technology. Like, it's, we can get it right. Like, you can get that right. That is a pivotal moment in the game. That's what replay should be for, and it was an egregious mistake.
It really was. It was absolutely horrendous.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I just said something to RJ, which surprised him greatly. I'd like to see if you have the same reaction. I don't really know how to play poker.
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, he was as well. I think his reaction was, wow, really?
No, you're a blackjack guy anyway,
losers. Yeah, I'm big into blackjack. I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
What did you play at Dunkin' Donuts, though, when you had like that, you know?
We play, yeah, so my friend taught me. It's called Pasoi Dos. It's a Chinese poker he taught me. But I would have no, and I was good at that because he taught me how to play it, but I would have no recollection of how to play it now.
See, I think you would pick up Hold'em quick.
Probably so. But
I think
you
like it, too.
Do I need like entree into the gambling world now at this point?
No.
Nah, probably not.
No.
Makes my wife uncomfortable, so why do it?
I will tell you, though, I mean, getting on a plane after a big win, playing some poker with the boys, nothing better.
Good stuff?
No, nothing better. Until it gets to the point where a guy loses too much money. No. Wife gets mad. He can't play for like 2 weeks because he's
catching checks that he can't afford. And yeah.
Well, no, he can't. He's afraid to tell his wife that he lost all his money.
How much money are you losing that a professional athlete can't tell his wife?
Well, here's what happened, though. And this is, it's a similar relationship.
We got to be talking five figures.
No. Like with you and Sherry, right? Like it's, see, he's like the wife runs, his wife runs the house. Just like, you know, me and you. Cass is, he is the one paying bills and everything else.
Right.
So we made the mistake on the plane. Rather than playing with like, you know, actual cash. Or at least chips, so like when you make a bet, you can actually like see what you're betting. We decided that it'd be a good idea that we would just have like, if you said all in, it would just be written down on the piece of paper.
Oh, boy.
We would take a log, and then you could just say, okay, I'm back in.
So you're playing on credit is what you're playing
exactly
on.
Exactly right.
Oh, boy.
Exactly right. So he takes a beating on a road trip, and he's down. It wasn't even, I mean, it's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong.
Was it over $5,000?
Yes.
Okay. So that's considerable money.
Considerable money. The guy made good money. But he was, you know, he didn't want to have to tell his wife that he lost money playing cards. So for like 2 weeks, he couldn't, like, he was useless. To the point where GM Milbury finds out and cancels the poker game on us.
Oh, God. But why didn't the guy just come back and say, like, listen, I can't take $9,000 out at one time. Let me pay you slowly along the way.
Well, yeah, or ask one of the guys, you know what I mean? Like, ask one of the guys, like, hey, man, one of your buddies, can I borrow, you know, whatever I got to pay off here and so we can straighten this thing out.
So it just got awkward, didn't it?
It got real awkward, yeah.
Now, the guy that was owed the money, was he expecting the money? Did he become a little agitated?
No, I don't think so. I think he understood, I mean, what was going on. He wanted to get paid. See, here's the problem with the card game, though, and this happens quite a bit, is that because we're all friends, like, I mean, you spend more time with these guys than you do your own family, is that you end up losing, and the expectation is, you know, you're going to give me a discount because we're buddies.
Oh.
Like, I lose $5,000, you're going to say, okay, you know, just give me $3,500.
That's a nice discount.
But you don't get the discount. Like, then there are guys that don't give discounts. So the other guy gets all pissed off. Like, I thought
we
were buddies.
You'd be a discount guy, I think.
No, I'm usually a discount guy. Yeah. But we found, you know, as we worked our way through the card game, that it was just like before we would start, say, listen, there's no discounts here.
Okay.
It's your pay. Because, I mean, when you win, you're going to want to get paid. So when you lose, just pay it.
So
and
did
be done
he
with it.
Eventually pay?
Yes.
And his wife found out?
Yes.
And she went crazy.
She was mad. Yeah, she was upset. Dude, I've seen people lose motorcycles. Like
motorcycles.
Vehicles.
How about motorcycles?
Because it gets crazy. You start playing
a motorcycle.
It was a motorcycle. You start playing AC
motorcycle.
Ducey. You hitting posts and everything else. It gets nuts.
That does sound like fun.
Oh, it's awesome.
I'm in a tube miles above the earth. Just 1-4-3. Tired. Sitting around with my buddies.
Music playing,
peanut butter
beautiful
jelly
dinner.
Sandwich.
Oh, yeah! If you get there in time, the media don't get poker. There first and eat all the sandwiches.
Oh, it does sound good. Can cigars Pigeons. Be allowed or no? No smoking on
the plane. Oh. Yeah, different time.
All right, let's go to Matt in the truck. Matt, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey,
hello.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
We got you now. Yeah.
Matt from CT. I have one question for Rick, and then I have a comment, if I may.
Okay.
Rick, I have ESPN Plus. Last night, I go to click on the Islanders game, and it said it wasn't allowed in my market. Do you have any idea what that's about?
Yeah, market blackout, just because you're from the area, obviously, right?
Yeah, CT.
Yeah, so they expect you to watch the game on the paid cable channel.
Yeah, it wasn't on any local program.
Of course it was. It was on MSG. Of course it was.
I watched it on MSG last night. MSG Plus.
All right, Matt, what else you got? Yes. The game was on locally, and because of that, you had that option, and you can't watch it streaming on ESPN Plus. What else you got?
All right, good to know. That strategy that Dave Roberts and the Dodgers used last night, do you think that they were trying to maybe get something going early on, and then when the pitcher's spot came up, they'd be able to pinch hit for him without taking the starter out? Do you think that's what that was about, or...
No, I think it's to try to get through. I mean, you get through the top of the lineup. See, like, the way I would look at it, right, and again, I don't think I love it, to be honest. I wouldn't want to mess with his routine.
I don't like it.
No, I know you don't, but I mean, Urias has done it before, though. You know what I mean? Like, he has come out of the bullpen, so he feels comfortable doing it. This isn't like one of those
Yankees. He was actually their closer last year in the postseason and didn't trust Jansen at all.
Yeah, this is one of those situations. This isn't like the, you know, Davey Garcia opens and then Jay Happ, who's adamant about not coming in out of the bullpen. This was, he feels comfortable doing it. I mean, I guess you could explain it as, okay, we'll get through as good as you think him, you know, as good as you think Urias is, let's be honest, in a game like this, they're going to be quick to the bullpen anyway. So, I mean, the chances of him going through the lineup a third time are probably slim to none. So we get him through the top early. And then at least if things go sideways early in the game for the opener or whatever it is, at least you've got time later on to make up those runs.
I guess. But, I mean, you know, you can't kill it because it worked out. But if they go out there and... How do you say his name? Knebel? Is that how you say it?
And he was in trouble, man. I mean, he got into a jam early. He got out of it.
Yep.
But, again, it's one of those situations. I mean, they look like, you know, I said, you know, big win for the Nerds. Guys went out there and did their jobs, and it worked, and they won. So they look smart. They don't. I mean, we're crushing them today.
If he goes out there, two runs first inning, they never score enough to win that game. They get absolutely destroyed. Let's take a listen to the manager of the Dodgers, Dave Roberts, on waiting to use Scherzer in the spot that he in fact did.
It was just kind of seeing the flow and how the game was going to play out. Knowing you have an ace in the hole is a good feeling. I just wanted to try to find the ultimate leverage spot to deploy them, to use them. And just kind of how the game played out, it just made a lot of sense.
See, this to me is why, like, you watch the regular season, 162 games, you say, well, the Yankees have the best bullpen, it's not even close. But then you get to the postseason and it's not even the same. It's not even the same game. Like, I can now pitch Scherzer. I now have, you know, other starters that are available on 2 days' rest. You look at the Red Sox, their bullpen stinks. Their bullpen is lousy. But they're pitching guys who are starters, who are that's their normal work day. So it's a completely different feel in the postseason.
Well, yeah, I mean, your bullpen in the postseason completely different than your bullpen in the regular season, right? I mean, with days off and everything else,
right? So if you have two guys that you actually trust, right? Yankees have a million. Yankees bullpen great, but if you have two guys out of your pen that you trust, and now you have a starter or two that you can turn to as well, now you have legitimate depth in your bullpen.
Yep. Yeah, and then you're in a spot like they were in last night where, I mean, and Kenley Jansen, give him credit. I mean, I don't fully trust him either, but I
mean, he was good. He has,
yeah, but I mean, he's been throwing the ball well, and he's a guy who's your closer, but in the highest leverage situation, you go to one of your starters. I mean, your ace, really. And he gets the job done.
He sure did.
But it's putting a guy in a position that he's not really, I mean, overly comfortable in, but you just trust the fact that he's got the best stuff.
Right. He's Max Scherzer, and you believe at the end of the day he can go out there and give you an inning, and he did. And the Dodgers win, and they move on, and they take
and
on the Braves.
Mookie Betts is awesome.
Oh, my God. What was he, 4-for-4 last night?
Oh, yeah. Stole a base. Oh. You know.
He really is. He really is.
You know what's amazing, though? We were talking about this before the show. When you look at these teams, right, look at the teams that are still standing. And we spent all season long talking about, you know, all the different Yankees that underachieved, how the team was built. It's too, you know, right-hand dominant, too many swings and misses and everything else. They're not spending enough money or not spending like the old Yankees used to spend. It's really about, you know, spending the money on the right players. And if those players, you know, perform well, and you look at these teams too, like Mookie Betts, unbelievable athlete. Like, go through the list of these teams' best players and what kind of athletes they are. They're not one-dimensional players.
No, but the Yankees are very one-dimensional. I mean, they don't have any. I mean, they've told you what they want to be. Get on, hit home runs. These other teams are a lot more athletic than the Yankees are.
Yeah, which now all of a sudden in the postseason becomes a big deal. For a bunch of different reasons. I mean, you're going up against the best of the best. Pitching is great. Bullpens get solidified with, you know, starters on short rest jumping out there. Like you've seen throughout the entire playoffs with the Red Sox, you saw with the Dodgers and everything else, but it's not easy to hit in the postseason.
No, it's not.
So you got to find ways.
Premium. You got to find ways. And other teams, listen, who from top to bottom, whose lineup is better, Yankees or the Red Sox?
Right now, it's the Red Sox because those guys have had, I mean, those go out before.
The Yankees don't have a Verdugo hitting seventh. That doesn't exist for them.
No, especially with LeMahieu out of the lineup.
Doesn't exist. Look, I mean, look, Astros or Yankees, the lineup, I don't think it's close.
Yeah, but look at the moves that they made. Look at the moves that Chaim Bloom made. I mean, everyone thought the second they traded Mookie Betts, that was a brutal deal, and the Red Sox made a mistake. But the Red Sox say, hey, this is what we can offer. You
and that was
want
before
it,
last
we'll
year,
on.
Right? That was 1 year, awful season, second year you're in the ALCS, correct?
Yeah, and then you go out, I mean, Kike Hernandez, I mean, look what he's doing.
All he could do is get on base now.
Hunter Renfro. I mean, you name it. And they make it, all these teams use analytics and everything else. And it's on, you know, the players to go out there and perform. And most of the Yankees didn't. And the teams that are still standing, these guys did.
Now, that is 100% correct. So tonight, 8 o'clock, game one, ALCS right here, 98.7 ESPN. So before we get to the Yankees, and we will in a second, if you are a Yankees fan, and I know that you have this kind of thing where every once in a while you'll say you're a Yankees fan, but I don't think you in fact are. But if you were a Yankees fan, who would you actually root for in this series?
If I was a Yankees fan, who would I would root for?
We could ask the guys. I'll ask RJ and Ray.
I would root for whoever comes out of the National League.
What?
I would root for whoever comes out of the National League.
No. But the Astros are playing the Red Sox.
Yeah, like, I don't care. I hate both teams.
I understand. But who would you hope wins that series?
I don't even know if I can answer that question. I honest to God, like, I would be apathetic to the series.
So you would just, RJ, do you care? If I said you have to pick a team to win that series, who would you
but
root for?
Here's what makes a problem, though, Dave. It's like, you hate the fact that the Astros cheated, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can't stand them. You have no respect for that. And then, I mean, the Red Sox are your most hated
That's
rival.
That's your big rival. That's correct.
Okay, but who's the manager of the Red Sox?
Cora.
Okay, was he not one of the masterminds behind the whole cheating?
Of course he was, and that's your biggest rival.
It makes me hate them even more now.
So you would root for Houston, or not even root for Houston. You would hope Houston won just because it's the lesser of two evils?
No, I don't even know if I could pay attention to the series, honestly.
So you don't even watch the series?
Like, I hate both teams, and I used to like the Astros.
Well, I don't know how you couldn't have liked them. So, RJ, where's your allegiance lie in the series?
I'll never root for Boston in anything. This is as close as you'll get me to it, but it's like Rick said. I just root for chaos. A lot of failure on both sides. But
so do you hope that there's a like a Bill Buckner moment where somebody just royally screws up?
Yeah, I hope there's a moment that these guys have to live with forever on both sides. I hope there's blown saves, horrifying endings, but ultimately someone does have to win. And I wouldn't root for anyone, but I guess I would pull for Houston because
No, you can't do that. Well, you got to explain to me why. Here's what it comes down to. No Yankees fan wants to root for either of these teams.
Right.
I would say this is how you would do it, is which team do you think is less likely to beat the National League representative? Because that's ultimately what you want. You want whoever's coming out of the National League, probably the Dodgers.
I like this way of attacking this. So two things. A, you got to root for the Dodgers if you're the Yankees then,
yes.
Right?
And yeah, but unless the Braves are just, I mean, they smack the Dodgers around, you feel good about it. But right now, going into that series, I think a lot of people say the Dodgers are the better team.
I think yes, considerably. I don't know what the odds are in that series, but you got to figure the Dodgers.
They're favoring the Dodgers.
It's got to be. You got to be pro Dodgers.
The Braves starting pitching has been good, though, man.
It has. And they have home field in this.
That was another mistake Cashman made. The whole let's go sign Kluber instead of Charlie Morton. What a mistake that was.
Yeah, really.
The very early line is Dodgers -190, Braves +170.
Wow. So Braves have home field, and they're almost 2-1 underdogs against the Dodgers.
I almost want to put money on the Braves just because Jock Peterson running around with the pearl necklace makes me laugh every time I see it. I'm almost rooting for the Braves as much as I hate them.
I don't think your rooting is going to help in this series, though.
We'll see. You never know. It's baseball, man.
You never know. So, Santi, where are you with this series?
I'm pretty much in the same boat as the other guys. Like, it's horrible to watch. It's bitter to watch. And you're trying to find what's the lesser of two evils and right. and what's more tolerable. But at the end of the day, I'm hoping for the Dodgers, whoever, to just smash whoever comes out of there.
But you're not answering the question. But
because it's a tough question to answer.
He wants the team to win that's least likely to win the World Series is what he wants.
Which is who? Which is Boston, then?
It's probably Boston in that case, but...
You got no Lance McCullers for the Astros.
As much as I can't stand all those guys on Houston, I mean, I can kind of tolerate Dusty Baker, but again, it's...
I think he's likable, actually.
Well, why don't... Yeah, but he's also the Astros manager right now, so it's tough. So why would I root for any of these teams?
Yeah, but that's the reason why they hired Dusty Baker, though, because everyone likes Dusty Baker, and everyone can't stand the team with
that's
how they handled the cheating.
That's correct.
So smug about the cheating. We're just smarter than you. It's like, listen, the Astros are like the equivalent of Dave Gettleman, how he speaks to you as a fan.
Yeah, but at least they succeed.
Yeah, well, at least they succeed. But
at least they're winners.
Yeah, everyone cheats. We're just way better at it than everyone else.
Listen, it's a lot worse with Gettleman. Gettleman does it. He talks down to you, and he can't come close to winning. At least Houston wins.
Yeah, I mean, you make an excellent point, but I still feel the same way about it. They got a real arrogance to them that I don't like.
The Giants would cheat a little bit if it meant winning a game or two. My God.
It'd be even worse. Maybe imagine if you found out that they were cheating this whole
time.
No,
they can't. That'd be pathetic.
Can you imagine? We are the Giants. It'd
be like a kid cheating on a test. What'd you get? 74. How do you get a 74? You cheated. Right?
I tried.
Gave you the test. You had the test. How did you get a 70?
And you still almost failed it.
That was like my final exam for this computer class I took.
You cheated and you still failed?
No, we couldn't. No, the problem was we couldn't. We went to the World Juniors and we came back, so we missed the final exam. So when we came back, we each had to be in separate rooms to take the exam. And you should have seen, like, at one point I walked into the room and I was like, do you know any of these answers? He's like, nope. Do you? I was like, nope.
So what'd you do? You got a 51 and they're like, oh, it's okay. You're a great goalie.
No, I did not get a 51. I think I got better than a 51, but because my average before the 51 was so good. But there were some questions as to why I did so poorly. I was like,
really?
I was like jet lag. I mean, it was very, very intense over there representing your country.
Quickly go, yeah, I couldn't know what computer science was because I was...
I don't even know what BCC stands for. How do you expect me to pass this exam?
Exactly. I'm not familiar with the BCC. You expect me to start figuring out COBOL here? Not possible. Chris in Elmont. Chris, you're next up on 98.7.
Morning, guys. How are you today?
Great.
In response to that AL series, no, you can't root for either one of them. You want them both to go to seven. You want them to use every resource they have. You want them to deplete all their energy, and then you want them to lose to any National League team.
I agree with you all the way, but someone's going to win. So which team would you prefer to see win?
It's a stupid question, though. It's the terrible question because no Yankees fan wants either of these teams to win.
But someone's going to win, right? Someone has to win.
Yeah, but you don't have to root for either of the teams. I mean, Yankees fans could care less. They want whoever wins to lose miserably in the World Series.
I can't watch a game and not have a rooting interest in it.
So if it was the Eagles and the Cowboys,
when they played this year, I rooted for the Eagles.
No, not this year. I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about in the NFC Championship game. Who are you rooting for?
Probably the Eagles.
Are you a sneaky Eagles fan or something? Are
yeah,
you happy that they won the Super Bowl?
I'm a closet Eagles fan. No.
See, I don't even think you could verbalize that. Like, I couldn't imagine. I would root for anybody.
Which team I hate less.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
And I would just have to determine which team I hated less.
But here's the thing, though, Dave. I don't know if there's a lesser of two evils in this situation. I really don't.
I think the addition
of Alex Cora to the Red Sox makes it even worse.
But a strength of mine is I can figure out a reason to hate. I'm very good at that. So I would just figure out which one I hated more. That's what it would be. I hate Eagles play the Cowboys. I hate both. But there's one that I would hate more. And I would figure that out and root for the other.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I mean, you're better than I am because I can't differentiate between my levels of hate with both these teams if I'm a Yankees fan.
I mean, you're having trouble with this discussion and you don't even really care.
No, I don't even care. I'm just saying in that, like, there are reasons to despise, like really despise both of these teams.
Absolutely.
Like you already hate the Red Sox, but then all of a sudden now Cora's in the mix, and he was one of the ones that was responsible for the whole cheating thing.
Yep. And then you get the Astros, who are just,
the worst.
They think they've done nothing wrong.
No, nothing.
No, absolutely nothing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.